Hey everybody, welcome. It's time for Atomic Radio Hour, post-nuclear podcast. A show brought to you entirely by my Patreon, by the Patreon. Link to that down below if you'd like to support in any sort of which way. How are you? It's episode 2... Did I say 240? Did I mess up already? I meant 239. We're almost at 240. We're super damn close. How are you? I hope you're well. You look great. You smell alright today. Normally you're kind of fair to middling, but you smell great. I appreciate when you... it's not hard. It's not hard to, like, try. You know, put a little deodorant on. A little perfume, if that's what you're doing. A little cologne. Colon. How are you? Welcome to the show. Not a ton to talk about today. It's been super slow. I've had a week, man. This whole week has just been hard for me. It feels like nothing happened, too. Like, this feels like... like, I always feel like I'm gonna come in here and be like, oh, yeah, well, nothing happened. And then, like, the end of the week rolls around, and it's just like, you know, they found how to replicate gold. Like, they discovered alchemy. Like, something. I do have something I want to talk about quick. I've been looking at just games. I've just been interested in just, like, owning games. Like, not even to play them, but to own them. I have a friend who's been, like, slowly building a PS2 collection. They had a PS2 as a kid, and they lost their brother. And when he passed, they got his PS2, and it was the PS2 they played all the time as kids. And I'll play, like, PS2 games with them, or I'll watch them play, like, they were big on Sly and what have you. So I've been, like, watching a PS2 collection grow and kind of, like, helping grow it and going to, like, retro game shops and shit and just everything. So much money. And, like, Silent Hill 2 is a $200 game. Sonic Adventure 2 Battle on the GameCube is a $65 game. Simpsons Hit and Run on the GameCube or the PlayStation ranges anywhere from $25 to $45. Like, it's just, and it's not like these games don't exist elsewhere. And that's kind of what I'm going to get at with this topic, this first little thing I'd like to talk about. Like, the preservation of games is just so, it exists and it doesn't. Like, I know this is kind of a topic that's been beaten to death of just, like, Nintendo, don't buy our emulators, also Nintendo. Hey, we're going to put Super Mario 64, Sunshine, and what other was the other game? And Galaxy on the Switch, but we're only going to do it for 6 months. And it's an emulator, so just buy it. Don't do it yourself, just buy ours. And, like... Someone at work, when I was talking about this, like, looking at all these games, made a really great joke about Nintendo and how they've, like, fallen from grace. And it was like, Nintendo's kind of like, at this point, is kind of like your dad's girlfriend when your parents get a divorce, where you don't really like them anymore, and you're always wondering why the hell they're in your living room, which I thought was just a genius way to put it. But, like, that's the thing, is a Nintendo console comes out, and I'm like, ah, this is going to be such a waste of time, but I'm going to buy it, I'm going to spend $400 on it, and I'm going to get maybe 80 hours on my Switch. That's my fault, though. You know what I mean? Like, I can't sit here and blame anybody. Like, it's my fault that I bought it and I don't play it. Like, there's probably some, whatever. So these games are so expensive. Like, a box copy, which I understand as a collector, and the way Super Nintendo games were, you threw away the boxes. You got the box, you tossed it, I get it. But Super Metroid... boxed up is like $400, which makes sense to an extent, but loose it's $60. Like, I remember getting NES games and finding Metroid, and Metroid being a $30 game 15 years ago, 10 years ago. Like, what else did I say? It was like Legend of Zelda. This one made sense. Legend of Zelda Ocarina of Time on the GameCube. There's like a special disc that put it on GameCube. That was like, I want to say $80. That one made sense because it was like a promo disc. So it was something special, but still playable. Like Heart Gold, Soul Silver, $130. $130. If you have a little Pokey Walker thing, it's a, so like games are expensive. And what I'm leading up to, is the story that Kyle sent me about Microsoft taking off. Sorry. As I was looking up the story that Kyle sent me, he sent me this thing, that they're shutting down Knockout City. So Knockout City's Twitter says, "We have an important announcement about the future of Knockout City. Season 9 will be our final season. All the servers will be shut down on June 6th. We have more in store, so stay tuned. Learn more about the upcoming Sunset in our latest blog," right? So it links you to like what they're going to do to end this series. This is a game that like was entirely just an online thing. Like, I don't think they had any sort of physical thing that you could purchase. They didn't have anything that you could own, but you could pour money into this thing. My dumbass has bought the Battle Pass for Fortnite. There are rumors of Peter Griffin being in Fortnite, and I will buy that the day it comes out. I will be running around going, "Hey, Lois," the whole time. Saw a tweet once. I was like, the hardest part about growing up is realizing that it's not hard to do any of the voices on Family Guy, and literally everyone can do them. But like, here's this thing that I really enjoyed. I only played maybe 20 hours worth of, even if that, we were the Bravo boys, hell yeah, brother. But like, June 6th of 2023 in the year of our Lord, it's just gone. Just gone forever. What if that's my game? Like, what if there's some kid out there who Knockout City could be their Fallout 3. That could be the game that like made things seem real, made things seem right. Who knows? Like, I mean, I'm just speaking for myself here, but like, that's a fun experience. Now there wasn't a single player as far as I know, so there's nothing to do. You can't even, them shutting down the servers, I think pretty much means you can't even play with your friends, which sucks. So what I'm getting at is a story from Kyle. Sorry. This is from Wario64 on Twitter. He sends me, "The 360 Marketplace is removing a number of games and its DLC on February the 7th. So they're taking these things down, and not all of these games have backwards compatibility. Stuff like Assassin's Creed Brotherhood 3, 4, The Liberation, or I'm sorry, Assassin's Creed Liberation HD, Call of Duty Advanced Warfare, Ghost, which probably have it. Castle Crashers. That is like, I think of that as like one of the Xbox Live games. Darksiders 2, Dark Souls, Counter-Strike Go, which I didn't even know was on there. Far Cry 2, Left 4 Dead 2. Again, games that I think of when I think of the 360. N+, Mass Effect 2, Lost Odyssey, Limbo, Peggle 2. What are we going to do? What is a society going to do sans Peggle 2? Skate 2. I just love Skate. I just can't wait. Witcher 2. Star Wars Battlefront. Knights of the Old Republic 2. The Orange Box. And like, not all of these have backwards compatibility. And I get that a lot of these games probably, if not, are on Steam or on some form of Epic launcher or what have you. But it's like, are we just going to hit a point where like, Every game is just going to retain its value to the point where it's like, I can't even get a game on sale. I can't even get a game used. Like, the lowest a game is going to hit is $45. And as someone who doesn't buy games when they come out anymore for various reasons, one of them being that I just don't think a lot of games are justified at $60 or $70 as they are now. They take twice as long to make, and they're two or three times less fun, in my opinion. I'm not saying this is a factual fact. That's factual. But like, what do you do? Like, I could download the entirety of the PS2 catalog right now on my computer. Yes, in Minecraft. It's illegal in Minecraft, whatever. But like, it isn't. Like, there's some weird gray loophole that like someone once told me that you can like download them legally, but not. But like, I think there will be a day where all the discs rot. And that's the thing too, how am I going to get a copy? Like, Marvel vs. Capcom on PS2 is like $160. That's ridiculous. I bought a very expensive copy of Fallout 3 that's sealed. Like, I want to get a couple games either framed or graded, and I don't care about stuff that's like, I don't care about, I so I like to collect things, and I've heard the argument that like a graded game is stupid, and it kind of is. I think grading anything is kind of dumb, but that's the way the market is, and that's what you have to do. And I just like that you get it graded and it's displayed and it has a number to it and it's in a database. Like, it's accountable. There's something in my lizard brain goes, ooh, numbers and hard plastic. It'll collect dust. Ugh, yes, dust collection. Like, my brain lights on fire, and I'm like, ugh. But, like, I want to get, like, Simpsons Hit and Run. sealed. I don't care if it's like a player's choice or like a red label. I'll buy it. Why the fuck is Backyard Wrestling 2 a $25 game? I kind of think it's the COVID bubble, and it'll pop eventually, and things will go back down in price. But I don't know. Like, Bully 2, $20, I'll pay that. I'll pay Bully to play Bully again, $20, like, now. Like, on anything. So why not just get it on PS2? So Microsoft is shutting down parts of the 360 store, which is inevitable. But you would think at this point that it's all just integrated into one store. You would think that if I bought... I don't know if they had it, but you would think that if I bought a game on the 360 or the original Xbox, I'd be able to have that game on a Series X or the next console or the console that follows. But hey, I think the next thing Microsoft's really going to do, they're probably going to do one more console. And I think what they're going to try to do is make a console that you can take apart and replace its parts. Or they're just going to make pre-made gaming PCs. I think it'll just run off of Windows. It'll run off the most modern Windows, but they'll just make a pre-made rig that you can then swap parts out. That's the only thing I could see them doing, because just we're going to hit a point where consoles, they're going to go away. And I think it's going to take two or three more generations, but they'll go away eventually. And that's going to be a very sad day. I'll cry that day. The day the consoles died, and I was singing bye-bye. Whatever, I can't fucking think of a parody of that quick enough. I sound like a moron. I'm very tired. I had a very hard week. I don't know what you guys are doing, what you're thinking about that. Because, like, to me, owning a game, like, half of the fun of buying a game back in the day was to buy the game, like, come home from Best Buy or GameStop or Target or whatever, like, put the game in, let the loading screen load up, take a quick shit, and, like, read the manual or read the back of the box. Like, I was very much like, I'll read the back of the box in the car, and then I'll read the manual in the back. Like, I found a copy of Sonic Adventure 2 Battle on the GameCube. Like I said, I was in this retro shop, and I was like, how much? He's like, 65. I was like, can you do 55? And he's like, no. I'm like, okay. So, like, I wasn't even going to buy it. I just wanted to see what he was going to say. And I was like, can I look at the manual? And I flipped through the manual, and I was just like, I used to carry this thing with me to school. Like, that game, that's a game that I really, 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 really want to get, like, a decent copy and get it, like, framed or something and put on the wall, because that game means so much to me. The Chao Garden. But, like, what are we going to do? Like, what are we going to do? Like, yeah, I have it on Steam, but, like, the Steam port isn't the best port, and, like, I've never played the Dreamcast version, and the Dreamcast version's more expensive than the GameCube version. And just what, like, we're just going to hit a point where games are inaccessible to play. Like, I can't see, and I'm not saying that because I'm like, oh, because they're bad. It's going to be inaccessible to play because there's no way to get them. Silent Hill 2 is a $200 game. Metal Gear, a fucking very expensive game. For convoluted writing that people always just overhype because they're like, oh my God, it's so deep, I don't understand it. And then Kojima's like, yeah, whatever. Ah, blah, blah, blah. So make a movie. Thank you for joining me this week. Like I said, I had a hard one. So, thanks for showing up. If you like the show, I have a couple other shows going on right now. I would ask you if you could please check it out if you've made it this far into me rambling about videos, James. Check out The Last of Kyle and Vince. I always mess it up because it's an offshoot of our other show called Kyle and Vince Likes Things, where Kyle and I both like something. We sit down, we talk about it. But The Last of Us show is out, and Kyle and I are big Last of Us fans, and that The Last of Us 2, like, and Fallout 3 are constantly running for, like, Game of the Year for whatever year it is in my head, constantly. And the show comes out, Kyle and I are very much enjoying it, and we would like to share some of that enjoyment with you guys. So if you feel so inclined, if you would, check out the YouTube channel. There's the videos there. There's so far, as of this episode coming out, there's only three episodes of Kyle and or The Last of Kyle and Vince, because there's only three episodes of the show on HBO. And we're big fans. We're really enjoying it. We just got to recently watch two gay men do gay activity. And we're having a good time with it. And it's an excuse for me to sit down and talk to my friend. And it's nice. And I think you'd enjoy it because it feels very much just like two friends talking about something. So check it out. Also, like, while you're down there in the description checking things out, check out the Patreon. This show is completely fan-funded. check out all the other links. There's a Twitch down there. I do it 6 times a year. Check it out. But speaking of the Patreon and your support and what have you, the best way to support is just by sharing this around and showing it to your friends and being like, yo, check out this guy who likes to yell on the internet. If you check out the Patreon and you feel so inclined to throw a couple bucks my way, I appreciate it. And because of the people who do, I have to thank them. So starting off first, I have to thank the OG Noah. Thank you, Noah. After Noah, I have to thank Danny. Thank you, Danny. After Danny, I have to thank Marcus. Thank you, Marcus. After Marcus, I have to thank TP. Thank you to TP. And last but certainly not least, I have to thank Mellow Millhouse. Like I said, the show is completely fan-funded. Because of you guys, I can continue to do this and make the show bigger and better. I love you very much. And every week, I ask a question in the Discord. And I say, hey, what's this? What's that? I'm thinking of a that word or a this thing. And the first person who gets it, or picks something that tickles my fancy that I choose, gets to pick this week's lore. This one, I kind of was thinking about what's your favorite console? Last week I said, what's one of your favorite toys from your childhood? And this week was, what's your favorite console? And I'm a sucker for the Wii. I know I just got done complaining about the Nintendo, but there's that era of the Wii. I was in fourth grade. I remember because this kid was like, my family got me the Wii last night. And I would be like, what the fuck? You're not so cool. It just looks like a baby's toy anyway. It's fucking like a penis. It's like in your hand, a controller. What are you? I was 9, 10, if that. So just Wii Sports, like every once, like I go to this retro game shop and all of a sudden here, I'm very dehydrated. And like a puppy. I'm like, what's that? Huh? Little Timmy's in the what? In the well? Like I want to play Wii Sports at all times. That's another one. Like, I, you know how hard it is to find a copy of Wii Sports? Like, you can't get them sealed or anything, but, like, it's like it's a $45 game, a $50 game. That's crazy. It's the greatest game ever made. That's, like, another one I'd like to get framed. Whatever. Anyway. Mr. Tom Fudd hit me with their favorite console being the Wii. They just had so many fond memories of playing the Lego games and Wii Sports and Wii Sports, man. It just always gets me. So I hit Tom Fudd and I said, hey, man, what do you want to hear for this week's lore? And they hit me with the ever incredible, the ever fantastic Fallout New Vegas. Who doesn't want to talk about Fallout New Vegas all the time? I'll tell you who. Someone not to be trusted. All right? So Tom Fly goes, what about Prim? Or Prim Slim? Yeah. And I'll be honest, I don't talk about Prim Slim all that much, but I want you to know that this is a Prim Slim fan channel. Like, everything that I do in my life is for Primothy Slimothy. So what about just Prim? Just the town of Prim. So if you want to hear any lore, and I mean any lore whatsoever, make sure you're in the Discord. Because once a week I'll ask a question, the first person to get the question right, or if someone leaves it in a YouTube comment, you guys get to pick lore for the week. And this week's lore, coming to us by way of Mr. Tom Flood in the Discord, is on Fallout New Vegas's town of Prim. Prim, a small town in the Mojave in 2281. The loading screen in New Vegas says, and I quote, often the first place NCR travelers stop after the Mojave outposts. Prim is also where lots of folks realize they left New Vegas with barely enough money to make the long trek back to the hub. End quote. All of my lore comes from fallout.fandom.com. The Nukipedia, if you will. Now, pre-war, it's part of Clark County, Nevada. I don't know much about Nevada. Apparently, I was in Nevada as a baby for like 2 weeks. Henderson, Nevada, right outside of Vegas. And I loved it. But I was a baby, so I don't remember it. It's a small resort town. It slowly had the reputation of being a budget version of Vegas, like a cheap version of Vegas, which I always thought was Reno. But this is Prim. It also connects Los Angeles to Las Vegas via Interstate 15. It had numerous attractions. The Vicky Vance Casino, which is essentially just a casino based around the mythology of the Southwestern version of Bonnie and Clyde. These two, you meet like the Vicky and Vance knockoff in New Vegas. those people in that shed, and I always kind of took them as like bumbling fools. So I don't know if the real Vicky and Vance, I don't even know if the real Vicky and Vance are real. There's also the Bison Steve Casinas and Hotel, one of the few places where you could find a pre-war hat, a bonnet, pre-war bonnet in New Vegas. It's just so ingrained into how I play the game that if I actually like do the main story and don't try to cut through those Cazador nests, I just go right there and take out the Bison Steve. Somewhere where I wish was a little more developed in the sense that you can take out all of the powder gangers inside, which I'll get to the powder gangers in a moment, and then kind of use that casino or that hotel or something. There's also a rickety old roller coaster known as El Diablo. Vegas apparently has a ton of roller coasters, like way more than you'd think there would be. Like, it's like, I want to say like more than 10. Like, I would have never thought that Vegas as a city would have roller coasters, let alone that many of them. Now, post-war, most of the town's luster wore off because the bombs had fallen and people didn't really have the need to gamble. They had the need to survive. But by the 23rd century, most of this had started to come back a little bit. The NCR began its expansion eastward, and Prim became a promising trade town, somewhere where you could trade. Redundant, I know, but it's somewhere that they could have set up shop. It could have been a huge asset to the NCR. There could have been a post that's there, just something else that goes from one station to another. And you know, land is always a good thing to have when you're an empire. It was promising as a trade town, not just for the NCR military, not just for the NCR as a whole, but also just civilians, just normal people. You can get a casino up and running. Hey, you know, I have 200 caps. Take that 200, turn it into 4. These are Vegas dreams. Turn it into 4, go to New Vegas. Then you can go gamble. You can really strike it rich in New Vegas. Now, Fallout New Vegas, I didn't know this until I did the research. Again, all of my lore comes from fallout.fandom.com. And I did, like I said, I didn't know this until I started doing this. New Vegas starts on October 11th of 2281. I knew 2281, I didn't know October 11th. But in September of 2281, the NCRCF outbreak occurs. I talked about the NCRCF a little while ago, and they had the outbreak. Everybody runs out of the NCRCF. They do a total takeover, and the NCR is defeated by fools with shitty guns and dynamite that they stole. And the newly founded powder gangers rush into the town, killing the sheriff and his wife in their sleep and taking hold of the town. So now these toddlers are now in charge. These kindergarten, these second graders, I keep trying to give them a little bit of credit. These fourth graders, let's put them there. These fourth graders are now taking like pre-college class. They're taking like pretty much senior high school classes, and they're running a town. And any of the residents that already lived in the town took refuge in the Vicky and Vance Casino. That's where you can find my boy Prim. Slim. They had a decent amount of supplies that they could last for an amount of time. And like I said, that happens in, I'm assuming, late September of 2281, because New Vegas starts on October 11th. So, you know, maybe the last few days, the last week, and they have enough provisions for 2 weeks, maybe 3. They're all holed up inside of the Vicky and Vance casino. They have the provisions to survive, but they don't have any of the supplies to take the town back. There's a few people that get out of the town, one of them being Samuel and Michelle Kerr. These two traders from Prim wound up making their way to the 188 trading post. Now, Prim is a town. It has the ability to become a very big town. It has a casino, a hotel, shops, a courier station, and a sheriff, which is unlike Nipton. I'm not going to say that the town of Nipton could have been saved if it had a sheriff, but it would have had a little more structure to it. Maybe the Legion couldn't have walked in so easily and started a lottery. Now, because the Powder Gangers are in complete control of Prim, the town of Prim becomes lawless. The Powder Gangers no longer allow caravanners to progress down I-15, because they're just stopping them. They're taking the caravan's stuff. And the Bison Steve becomes their HQ. Not because they had a plan, but because they were just there. Now, there's also the 1st Company of the 5th Army Battalion, which is a small tent on the outskirts of the town that is just keeping an eye on the powder gangers. Very, very, very bureaucracy-tinged little story to be told here, where the person who's in charge of that can't overtake the town and claim it for the NCR because they don't have enough men and they don't have enough guns. It's a tent of, like, 3 people. And they can't enact justice. I don't want to say enact justice because the NCR is very gray. Are they good? Are they bad? Well, you know, they can bring resources. Yeah, but you're going to tax the illiterate? Like, it's very much that. The man in charge of the 1st Company, 5th Battalion, says all he needs, he needs like a squad. He needs like a squad he could like rush in, take over the town, and be done with it. And this is also the powder gangers. These are the dudes who were just like, and broke out of the NCRCF. A win against them is a win for the NCR and could boost morale, especially after Bitter Springs with Camp Forlorn Hope. Like, all that, like, you could boost a ton of morale by saying, hey, we took one back from the powder gangers. And especially now that Nipton is completely lost, it's a burned out town, it could be a huge boon for the NCR to have another stop on I-15. But they don't have enough men. Prim is a very fun town. It's a very neat idea. It's where you find everybody's favorite boy, Eddie, as well as Prim Slim. Yahoo! But, you know, Eddie is arguably the best. Boone is better. Sorry. One of the best. Top 3 companions in New Vegas is Eddie. Boone, Eddie, Rex. No order. When would I say sacrosanct? Can't find me. You can. Leave in the comments. I don't care. Not that I don't care about your opinion. I care about your opinion. I don't care that I'm wrong, is what I'm saying. I love you. I don't really have any notes. It only ever is mentioned in New Vegas. The rep for Prim was completely taken out of the game. On screen, most likely, is the little rep for Prim symbol. But also, Josh Sawyer said that Prim was very memory intensive. It used an incredible amount of RAM, and they had to downsize it because of it, and he found that to be regrettable. I like Prim a lot. I like the little towns that you find on your way to Vegas. They're kind of stepping stones of civilization that leads you into what mankind truly is destined to be. A bastion of greed, a bastion of vice, a bastion of the rule of threes. That, my friends, is this week's lore. Hey, guys. I hope that wasn't too much. I'm sorry if it was. Have you been? It's that time of year again, I think. I think the season is starting to creep up and its friend, depression. I think seasonal depression is upon us. For me, at least. I can't speak for all of us. I think it's here. I think it's queer. I gotta get used to it. I don't know. Music's not feeling the same anymore. I kind of feel like I'm slogging through things. I just had a hard week, too. It could just be a hard week. It's one of those, like, you ever see that? It's a tweet that I see every now and again, or it's, like, a tweet that's, like, an Instagram caption that's, like, taken and then put on Facebook and then screenshotted and then put into a TikTok video and then that's screenshotted to put on a Snapchat and then the Snapchat's put onto a fucking Vine and the Vine's put onto a Twitter again. And it's just, like, don't listen to yourself after 10 p.m. Like, anything that your brain says to you about yourself after 10 p.m. is not good enough. But when you're not sleeping enough, the 10 p.m. goal line gets pushed forward more and more. So it becomes 9, it becomes 8, it becomes 7, so on and so forth. And I just had a week, and this whole weekend is, I'm recording this on a Thursday. I had to take care of something on a Wednesday. I went out with a friend for their birthday. But, It comes to like this whole, I'm not complaining about that. I don't want that to come off like I'm complaining about that. But it's one of these, like, you know, you got to take care of yourself, and I don't feel like I have the adequate time. And I was just getting like an ear beating at work the other day saying that I wasn't doing my job correctly. And like, that bothers me because I know that I do my job correctly. Like, not many things bother me until you call me a liar. Like, you could say foul shit about me. It usually doesn't hurt. I don't want to, like, you know, I'm not challenging anybody, but it usually doesn't hurt. Like, I feel like I have very tough skin. I learned at a very young age, like, that's, if someone's opinion of you is not who you are is who you are. And as long as you're trying to be a better person, then you won. And like, I don't know. It just bothered me because I've been, so I don't work an intensive job. I work at like a data entry fucking piece of shit job, right? And they switched our system that we use a few months ago, and we've been telling them for a very long time that the system doesn't work, and then they yell at you saying that you're not doing enough, and I'm like, I'm doing it, but you don't see it because the system is broken. I understand that other people are able to put out a number of things, a number of entries that you need to do, but there's two ways to do your job, and it's the right way and the wrong way. And I want to do it the correct way. I want to do it the right way. I think there's a, like, I'm not one of these, pull yourself up from your bootstraps and work harder, young fella. You got soft hands. Not one of those types. I understand what I'm being taken advantage of. And I think most of the American working force is being taken advantage of. And it's just one of those, like, you just listen to me. You don't even have to agree with me. Just listen to me. Just listen to me and just go, okay, I hear you. That's it. Like, you don't have to be like you'd bring these comments and go, no, you're just doing it wrong. Like, that's how you win hearts and minds. You catch more flies with honey than you do vinegar. You know what I mean? Like, so I've had that, and just, you know, again, when the goalpost of 10 p.m. keeps moving forward, your inadequacies, or your perceived inadequacies, I should say, become more and more apparent. And I'm not saying that they're true, but they're perceived. So if you are insecure about, say, I don't know, the fact that you don't wear cool socks. Like, oh God, I have all these clothing. I have all these clothing. That's not even correct. I have all of this clothing, and I don't have any cool sock. I only have white and black and navy. Like, 10 o'clock rolls around, your brain's tired. You're tired. You need rest. You need relaxation, and your brain's going to go, hey, you don't have cool socks, buckaroo. And you start the spiral. And I just think, like, it's that time of year. I've been waking up, it's like negative 15 every morning. It's like three mornings. Well, that would be the whole week, because today's Thursday. You know what I mean, though? Like, the past few days have just been incredibly cold. Tomorrow's going to be like 56, almost 60 degrees at one point. So, you know, the sun is starting to stay out later. The vitamin D levels are soon to increase. I should probably take a B12 every now and again. But just, how are you guys doing? How are you affected by the winter months? Spring can never come soon enough. And spring isn't like a month. Yeah, like a month and a half, I think. I don't know. I just know Biggie died in March. It's that time. It feels like that time of year. I'm thinking about visiting a friend soon. Maybe getting to do some cool shit. And it's just one of those things. It's just like, you know, you got to keep active. You have to keep moving. You have to keep, you know, like the podcasts that I do are creative endeavors. The creative outlooks are something that keeps me on my toes. I've said multiple times here before, I've learned a skill. I've learned how to edit. I've had to learn how to entertain by myself. You know, when you have somebody to work off of, when you have somebody to do essentially like a straight man act with, you know, it lightens the load. That's why these episodes are shorter. Because when I had a co-host, we could do 50 minutes. We could do an hour and 10 because I had someone to talk to. When it's just me, I can only imagine what my neighbors think. I just do this and then play very loud, very aggressive rap music. And then like one Marvin Gaye song, and then back to just, I'll kill a bitch quick. Slice her throat. Rip her wrists. Like, just, I mean, I don't listen to like horrorcore, but I'm just the examples. So it's just, we're hitting that point. And when I hit this point, I know what I do. I know how I act. I know how I can be, especially when I feel like I'm being mistreated at work. And my normal go-to thing is to spend money, which isn't right. And I don't spend an exuberant amount of money, but I'll buy like a poster for the poster wall, or I'll buy a little action figure for the Fallout shelf, and like I'll go out to dinner like one extra night, like just little things like that. But you know, I don't know where you live, but in the US, the average grocery bill has gone up 10%. I'm sorry, no, it's not the average grocery bill has gone up 10%. That I could deal with. It's the average item has gone up 10%, which doesn't sound like a lot if you're buying something that's $1.30 a year ago is now $1.43 a about? Probably. That sounds right. Because it would be 13 cents, right? For $1.30? Arithmetic was never my thing. So if I'm probably wrong. Anyway, what I'm saying is, you know, it doesn't seem like a lot. But I went to go buy like a $9 thing of chicken breast, and the $9 thing of chicken breast now cost me damn near 13. And that adds up. And it's just like, I'm just trying to live. Just trying to survive. I'm not asking for the moon, man. I'm not asking for like all of the riches in the west side of Baghdad. I'm asking for just living. And it just hits that point. Being an adult is not something any of us asked to do, but we're here to do it. And we have to do it. And I feel like even though you don't want to do things sometimes, there's like a certain sense of pride that comes with it. Like anytime I had friends that were going through a depressive bout, I would always tell them like, the best thing you could do for yourself is take a shower. You don't have to wash. Turn the shower on, get it nice and hot, and stand there. Doesn't even have to be long, 5 minutes. But it just feels like you've accomplished something. And I keep trying to keep these things in mind. I keep trying to move forward and just do these things. It's very Sisyphusian. It's very just keep pushing the boulder up the hill, and eventually you'll learn to love pushing the boulder once again. But right now is not that time. You have to remember why you love pushing the boulder. And that's what you do. That's like life, man. That's really what it is. Life should be about making other people smile. So, you know, maybe if you're not smiling right now, or if I'm not smiling right now, somebody else is somewhere and they're having a good time. And how can I be mad if somebody else is having a good time? Just some things that have been on my mind lately. Thank you for joining me. My name has been Vince. I'm the host of Atomic Radio Hour, the post-nuclear podcast. This has been episode 239. I love you very much. Thank you for sticking around. In the description is the link to the intro music by the one and only Shane Ivers. Silvermansounds.com/free music for all of his heaters. But the song that is the intro and should be playing at this very moment is called Feather Duster. Thank you again to the Patreon. If you'd like to support, please seriously check us out. It would mean the world to me. There's also a Redbubble down there if you want to help out, you want to support in a smaller monetary way. There's links to all the socials, my social, the show social, Kyle social. Come check it out. Thank you for being here. I love you very much. And I will see you next week. Bye, everybody.
Atomic Radio Hour Podcast.
A Ghoulman Entertainment Production.